Thank you, Elaine. Sorry I didn't move that stage for you before you jumped up. Thank you to Debbie too for the reading. Let me pray for us, just reflecting on that verse from Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul writes, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know God's incomparably great power for us who believe." Father, as we consider these things this morning from your word, we pray that you would indeed do this work in us by the power of your Spirit, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we all know, tomorrow is Anzac Day. And as I prepared for today, my thoughts went to God as King and ruler of the nations. Thus the reading from Psalm 47 and 93 to start our time together. Likewise, my mind also went to the ascension of Jesus. We've just celebrated Easter and the death and resurrection of Jesus for us. And the ascension of Jesus is the event that follows. The ascension is not something we hear that much about. Most of our focus is on the death and resurrection of Jesus, which makes sense, central. But I thought today we would consider the ascension and ask the question, so what? The ascension, so what? So firstly, what is the ascension? In a nutshell, the ascension is when the risen Jesus returns to heaven. Acts chapter 1 describes it in this way. Let me read from Acts 1, 1 to 11. "In my first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?' He replied, 'It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.' When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" So this is the ascension illustrated here in this painting. The risen Jesus going into heaven. So there are no more resurrection appearances beyond this. Maybe the road to Damascus, whether it's the physical Lord Jesus that appears to Paul, but he certainly hears the word of the Lord there. The next time the risen Jesus will be seen will be at his return on the last day. The next question is, so what? What is the significance of the ascension of Jesus? What difference does it make to us? So to answer that question, I want to take you to Ephesians 1, which we heard read. In that passage, the Apostle Paul talks about God's incomparably great power. God's incomparably great power. So when you think of great power, what do you think of? What comes to mind? Wow, that was powerful. You know, what do you see? What comes to mind? A few answers. Explosions, stilling storms, yes. I guess more away from the Bible and God and Jesus, but powerful things that happen and we see. So explosions, absolutely. What else is powerful? Thunder. Storms.
The
Yeah, eruptions, volcanic eruption, earthquake.
You see people trying to be powerful, but are they?
Yeah, so human power. So we've got natural, powerful things that happen in nature. We've got, you know, man-made, human-made power, if you like, or human power. So nature, storms, here's a list of things I've written. Storms, waves, you know, huge swells crashing on the shore, waterfalls, earthquakes, volcanoes, man-made power, powerful engines, A380s, fighter jets, missiles, armies. The Apostle Paul says that the greatness of God's power is incomparable to these. And God's incomparably great power is on display in the ascension. In the resurrection and ascension, actually. He doesn't split those two events. You can't really split the resurrection and the ascension. They go together. God's mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm. See the two together? Raised Christ from the dead and ascension, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So there are two so whats in these verses. Firstly, the ascended Jesus is Lord over heaven and earth. So forget, you know, Kim Jong-un, that Jesus is the supreme leader. There are some who wish to be supreme leaders, but Jesus is the supreme leader. That means he is in charge of all human history, including contemporary events. He is in charge of kings and rulers, presidents and prime ministers, including current leaders, and who will be elected future leaders. As Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. This gives us certainty, peace of mind. It reduces our anxiety, knowing that God is in control and that the ascended Lord Jesus is ruling. And the second so what tells us that Jesus is ruling over all for our sake. Verse 22, God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Three very important words, for the church. Everything that happens in our world is for the good of the church, for its growth, for its maturity, for its transformation of character. This doesn't mean it will always be easy for the church, that we won't suffer opposition or persecution. But what it does mean is even those difficult circumstances, Jesus is ruling for our goods. Good of his church. That is exceptionally comforting. Can you imagine how important this truth is right now for the church in Ukraine and other places in the world experiencing war, or Christians in North Korea, or other nations who are experiencing state persecution? And it's comforting news for us as well, who are facing trials of our own. Life is not outside of the control of Jesus, the ascended Jesus. is Lord, and he is ruling for the good of his church. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand how something can be for our good, but we can trust the Lord that it is. Now we come to the third so what of Jesus' ascension, and that is our new spiritual life. The Apostle Paul writes, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms." This is quite a wordy prayer, isn't it? Paul's prayers and writing can be quite wordy. Thankfully, our prayers here are nice and clear. Thank you again to Simon for his very helpful prayers this morning that aren't too complex and convoluted and using big language. And Paul's prayers are rather wordy, but did you catch the connection between Christ's ascension and our experience as Christians? It's at the end there. The same incomparably great power of God that raised Christ and ascended him to his heavenly throne is the same power that's at work in us. These days, everyone's looking for power to change, to be healthier with diet and supplements and exercise, to be happier, to focus more on self-care and well-being, to be a better person, to achieve more, to be successful. You know, there's a plethora of podcasts that you can tune into along these lines. Now, there may be some power to change in these things, but it's limited, extremely limited when compared to the incomparably great power, resurrection power, ascension power at work in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Spirit comes to us from the ascended Christ when we give ourselves to him, when we submit to his lordship and receive his salvation. And there are amazingly good consequences when we experience this Holy Spirit power of God at work in our lives. Paul's prayer lists a couple of them in his thanksgiving. Faith is mentioned, faith in the Lord Jesus. This is a work of the power of God in us by the Spirit, that we would trust in Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, that we would receive his lordship and know that he is indeed in control of all things. Faith in the Lord Jesus. We trust him who reigns upon the throne. Previously, we might have been completely indifferent to Jesus or even antagonistic towards Jesus, but now he is everything to us. That's a work of God's power by the Spirit. Another one he mentions is love. Love for all of God's people. Previously, we might not have had the time of day for Christians or had any interest whatsoever in gathering with them in church. We might have been antagonistic towards Christians just as we were to Christ. But a powerful transformation took place. All of a sudden we had a desire to be with God's people, to care for God's people, to serve God's people, rather than just look after ourselves. Radical transformation by the power of God. Ascension power at work in us by the Spirit. There is more in Paul's prayer. God gives, excuse me, God gives the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. The gift of God's Spirit brings us into a true knowledge of God, a personal relationship where we get to know him better. It is amazing. Knowing God. Before, we had no idea. We were clueless. We could not know God. We had no idea of who God is. We could come into a personal relationship with him, anything like that. But God gives us wisdom by his Spirit, and that is powerful. Everyone is searching for wisdom. How do I live my life well? Sadly, too often, we stumble on the first hurdle in answering this question because we leave God out of the picture. But it is foolish to think that you are going to live well when you ignore the one who gives us life in the first place, the one who is truly wise, the source of all true wisdom. We reject him, thinking that we can be wise without him, living well in God's world without reference to God, without reference to the inevitability of death, and without reference to the certainty of judgment. Wisdom must take these things into account. Thankfully, God graciously gives us wisdom. We don't discover God or true wisdom by ourselves. We are incapable of that. He reveals himself to us by his Spirit. It is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation that he gives us. It's all a gift of his grace. It's his power at work in us, resurrection power, ascension power at work in us. The fourth and final so what is in verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Hope. We have hope. Hope is so important. Sadly, we know how much damage was done to young people around the world and here in Australia over the last couple of years with fear of COVID, restrictions, lockdowns, homeschooling, home uni, isolation, loneliness, depression, substance abuse, self-harm, and worse, suicide. It really is devastating to think about how much damage was done to our young people when they should be in the prime of life, happy and out there living their lives, socialising, having fun. There was a loss of hope, especially in those long protracted, feeling like it was never going to end lockdowns. Where there is no hope, there are problems. Thankfully, God has given us hope. A hope that can get us through the darkest of times, the worst of circumstances. The hope God gives us is powerful. It's not weak. It's not pathetic sentimentality. It's not wishful thinking. What is the hope to which he has called you in Christ? Verse 18, it is the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Heaven is what he is talking about here. The new heavens and the new earth, the kingdom of God, where there is no more virus or lockdowns or war or persecution or opposition or trials or temptations, where the ascended Son reigns forever. for the sake of his church. From where he pours out his Spirit to give us, his people, graciously faith, love, wisdom, and hope, amongst other life transformational blessings. The Apostle Paul's prayer is that we grow in these things, and this is possible because it is God's resurrection ascension power that's at work in us by his Spirit. And so we should join him in this prayer for ourselves, for one another, for all of God's people. And for those who haven't yet experienced God's power in their life, we want to see our family, friends, neighbours and colleagues experience all of these good things of God too. So we pray for them and seek to share Christ with them gently where possible. The ascension, so what? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know God's incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Christ's ascension power is at work in us. And that changes everything.